Charles Burner, Biljana Perčinkova, on Gedel.
So, it is a problem that contains...
Tower of Hanoi.
Tower of Hanoi.
Uh-huh.
Is the name he knows about.
There is also recursion there. Maybe someday we shall see it also, if you want. It's good. Oh no, this this is also this student called me today this morning.
Rapati.
And he said, how are you, professor? Are you enjoying this?
You imagine you're on the beach here.
Yes, yes, he imagines I'm swimming.
Drowning.
Now we have mentioned yesterday that Gödel came up with two genius ideas. One of them was introducing a Gödel number for every statement in a formal logical system.
Mm-hmm.
So he obtained uniqueness or identity or who-ness of that particular statement. This was one idea, and he did it, if you remember, with the process of arithmoquinification. This is a special operation introduced by him and later on by Hofstadter. Operation of arithmoquinification.
Arithmoquinification.
And it was when I have a number for a Gödel's number for a certain statement, then I could invoke the same statement as I invoke her by telephone, by closing the variable in this statement, or feeding the variable in this statement with this very number. I have, for instance, a plus 1 equals 0. This is a statement. This statement might be true, might be not true, depends on the value of a. I should either say this is accurate for every A, or I should say there exists an A for which this is correct, or the third possibility is to denote a special value for this variable, and it becomes true or false. If I say A is minus 1, then this is true. If I say A is minus 3, then this is false.
Yes.
But I could put for A not just any number, but the Gödel's number of this particular statement. So I have reached the point when the formal logical system is that much sophisticated and developed that now it is possible to do what was not possible in ordinary theory of numbers. And this is to have a self-reference which is leading us closer to a formal logical system or a robot saying I don't want to say being self-conscious, it is far away from this, but it is possible for a robot to say I, and there are thick books written about this.
Yes.
So this is one genius idea of Gödel. This is the first idea. The second idea was introducing the proof pairs into the picture. And these proof pairs
are... I remember that from yesterday.
You remember. This secures, this... what is the word? Provides the process to end.
Mm-hmm.
This provides the process to end. If this is the whole sequence of legitimate statements, and we have a final statement, then the end is provided. So these two ideas, once we have these two ideas, we are able to give to the robot in its own language, which is the language of the formal logical system, possibility to say, for a theorem to say, I am not a theorem in formal logical system TNT. And how is it done? This is the pearl of Gödel. Finally, we have means to do this. First of all, arithmetic was included, then logic was included, then induction, mathematical mm-hmm. induction was included, then arithmetic unification was included, then proof pairs were included, and finally, the system is developed enough in order to introduce Gödel's law. I'm searching. So first quinning, then arithmetic quinning. There are more complications, but finally, arithmetic quinning, the final. There is no. Here is. And finally, this is the Gödel's law written in algorithmic form. This is the Gödel's law. It says, in the language of typographical number theory, which is the formal logical system in question, we started by mu system, introducing the difference between mechanical mode and intelligent mode, mm-hmm. which was very important because the importance will be seen now. Then, a system doing arithmetical operations. Then a system doing Boolean logic operations, and so on and so on. And finally, TNT, which is typographical number theory, at the same time meaning TNT, which is explosive, trinitrotoluol, so it has power to ruin itself because it is self-reference. And finally, we have come to the point when we are able to represent Gödel's law. And Gödel's law is there not exist A, and there not exist A to A prime such that they are at the same time such that A prime is a proof, A and A prime are proof pairs,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time A prime is an arithmetic unification of A secundum. What does it mean? This means there is no A and there is no A prime such that A and A prime form a TNT or a typographical number theory proof pair. Proof pair was A prime should be the last line in the process of derivation mm-hmm. described by A. We have statement, then statement, mm-hmm. statement, 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 statement. This sequence of statements is A. And the final one is A prime. In other words, A prime is not a theorem. Because in order for a statement to be a theorem, it should be obtained in a finite process. It couldn't be in a loop. So this provides that we won't fall into an infinite loop. So the proof pair, actually the proof pair means theorem.
Mm-hmm.
This is a simple statement, but many stages have been passed until we reach this point. This is a possibility to be able to say, I am a theorem. This is a theorem. So this first part of the equation says there are no A and A prime such that they too are a proof pair or they produce a theorem
mm-hmm.
and at the same time A prime to be arithmetic unification of something else, of A secundum.
Uh-huh.
And you should. And what is arithmetic unification? Arithmetic unification is self-reference. Arithmetic unification is a way to say, to put the number of the equation, to fit the equation which with its own Gödel's number. And Gödel's number is the description of that equation. So actually this is I. Actually, this is I, because this is self-reference. This is a statement talking about itself.
All right.
Because to the only one open value in this statement, to this value we have denoted its own Gödel's number. We have closed the statement which has been open. This means neither true nor false, by feeding it with its own value. So this is as if this equation says I. So this second part is self-reference, I, said by and constructed by the means of the system itself, not from outside. This is why we were supposed first to differentiate between intelligent mode and mechanical mode, because it is not always obvious. Sometimes we don't know what we are doing.
So it can be closed.
Yes. But you see, it is not closed still here. It is not closed because we have a secundum here, which is not closed neither by this sign which says there exists a secundum, or for every a secundum. We haven't got this one, nor we have a value for it. So this statement is still open. It could be true, it could be false, because it is open. Depends on a secundum. For certain values of a secundum, it could be true. For other values of a secundum, it could be false. If we say there exists a secundum such and such, it could be true, but it could be false. If we say for every a secundum it is so, it could be true or it could be false. So this is still open. And now we have an equation saying I am I, because we have arithmetic unification, which means self-reference. It says I. And at the same time, we have another part which says a theorem, because proof pair provides something to be a theorem.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be an infinite loop, but to finish and to be a theorem, mm-hmm. to be obtained by legitimate means which are allowed for this particular formal logical system. And finally we came to the theorem which actually states I am not a theorem, because at the beginning we have not. We negate it. We say there is no A such and there is no A prime such, that at the same time this is this is an arithmetic unification and a proof pair. There is no such A and there is no such A prime, that the process will finish or will be a theorem, and at the same time it will be self-reference or arithmetic unification. And now the final step is to close this open statement. And now we close it by arithmetic unification. So the very theorem expressing arithmetic unification is closed by arithmetic quining, the theorem about arithmetic unification, with itself, which is double self-reference. So finally, we feed this a secundum with the Gödel's number of this very theorem. So first we find the Gödel's number for this theorem, and this knot is 223, this exist is 333, A is 262, exist is these are two points is 636, A once again is 262, second A, prime is 163, because 163 is a prime number and this is prime, and so on and so on. So this is a number now, This is not just a sequence of symbols, it is a number, which is the great difference. And this number is the number of the very same statement expressing arithmetic unification. And finally, we feed this one open, this final variable open, with Gödel's number of the very same theorem saying I am not a theorem. So I am not a theorem is fed by its own number. Now it is in self-reference. Now, since we have closed this open statement, now it should be either true or false. Because now it is closed, now it is not open. Now it's either it should be, when we have closed the final open variable, it should be either true or false. But let us see whether it is true or false. It says, this is a theorem G, saying I am not a theorem. A theorem, this is the proof pair, because the proof pair provides something to be a theorem. And I is the arithmetic unification, because the arithmetic unification is feeding the statement with its own Gödel's number. And so now let us see if it is true or false. We could suppose that it is a theorem. But if it is a theorem, it means it is true, because the definition of theorem is a statement which is true, which is obtained by legitimate moving through with the allowed rules in the phonological system. So if it is a theorem, it has to be true, otherwise it is not a theorem. So it has to be true. But this very same theorem states that it is not a theorem. This is what this means. It says, I couldn't be proof pair. It alone forbids itself to be a theorem, because it said it is no A and A prime, that it is a proof pair. So it says I am not a theorem. So this couldn't be true. This couldn't be true. So our assumption is not accurate. This is the first we could do. Maybe we could have a lesser problem, which when we suppose that it is not a theorem. The other possibility is that it is not a theorem. But it says, I am not a theorem in TNT formal logical system. But maybe it is a theorem outside TNT formal logical system. Maybe it is not a theorem in TNT formal logical system, which is a specific formal logical system developed by us. But, but it is a theorem in some other formal logical system, which is mightier. But then it means that there is at least one theorem which is not part of TNT, which is true, and this means incompleteness. This means our TNT is not complete, because there is one theorem, this is this one, which is outside the system. So our TNT formal logical system is not complete.
Well, the robot.
But our ambition was to have consistent and complete system. So we failed. So this theorem shows that it might be that one theorem is outside the system, this is this one, saying itself, I am not a theorem, which is outside the system, and this means that our system is incomplete. And so this is why this theorem is named the theorem of incompleteness, Gödel's theorem of incompleteness. There is another one which is done by Church, which is Church's theorem of inconsistency, which is very similar to this inconsistency. This is incompleteness. And those is inconsistency, because we have said in the beginning, if our system has the ambition to present every truth possible in science, it should be both consistent and complete. We must not allow at least one theorem to be outside the system. And now we see there is one theorem which is outside the system. So our system, no matter how sophisticated it was, it's incomplete.
People do that all the time.
And now further question is,
sometimes they're complete and then you get Microsoft Corporation because he had something complete. But if it's inconsistent or it's incomplete, you have a mess. It's just a summary statement, that's all. Mm-hmm. It's just generalizing it to everything.
Yes.
Do you have a concluding remark?
There is concluding remark. We might solve the problem by saying, okay, if this is a problem, I could announce this to be an axiom. Because I'm building the system, I'm in charge of the system, and I could say, my system has a pitfall in it, so I might solve it somehow. And I say, I might announce this to be an axiom into the system. But does this solve the system? I have the TNT system with rules, thousands of them. And to this list I add this very theorem. And now I have formed another TNT prime system, which is expanded.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be complete. The previous one was not complete. We have seen with Gödel's law of incompleteness.
By adding an axiom.
By adding this very statement,
uh-huh,
as an axiom.
As an axiom.
I say, this is not complete. It is clear to me it is not complete. There is at least one theorem which is outside the system, and this is this one. Because this is so, and I want my system to be complete, I might solve the problem by introducing this to be an axiom. And so I add this to my system as an additional axiom. And now I have TNT prime system. But does this solve the problem? No, because I could now introduce another statement like this one, only I'll have here TNT prime.
Mm-hmm.
So the same problem will appear once again.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, once again, there is a new theorem outside the system. And then I add this new theorem as another additional theorem, and I got TNT secundum, which is also incomplete, because here I could have TNT secundum. And if I add this, then I have TNT on third, which is also incomplete, and so on and so on and so on. So this is Gödel's theorem of incompleteness.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being patient.
Well, I don't think there was a better teacher of it. And you've taught this 2 years?
Maybe more, yes. 2 years at this university.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was teaching theory of chaos, I always mentioned Gödel's theorem, because in chaos we have also self-reference and recursion. It appears again and again. In fractal geometry we also have, we put the output as an input, the output as an input, the output as an input, and we got pictures like this one.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I had some fractals here, but unfortunately I'm afraid I don't have any more. It should be here somewhere. Ah, Penrose Square, this is interesting. But maybe tomorrow. This is where Lila paradigm should be. The missing link.
Better than the weakest link. Okay. And tomorrow we'll talk about recursions and its effect on the apparent universe, the three different stages of the universe. You should understand that. Otherwise, the Leela paradigm seems too small and weak. But when you cube something, you get power.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are we done?
We're done for now.